Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and I'm joined by my co-host, Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Julie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful.
You had a great Valentine's Day, I presume?
Oh, yeah. Friday was wonderful. So was the weekend.
Oh, good. A little hot springs action, I heard.
Hot springs action. It's nice when the holidays fall so that it can be a four-day weekend.
Very nice. You look well rested, yeah, so I'm assuming you had a fine time.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't go anywhere over Valentine's Day, but I did have a small Valentine's Day party, and this is departing from our usual Tuesday morning program or protocol, but we had a fun little activity at this dinner party where we created a few poems.
Now, this is family-friendly radio.
We'll try. We'll do our best.
No limericks.
No swearing, anyway. We'll try to keep it clean. And then on to the rest of the program. But in honor of our creative folks this weekend, I'm going to recite two of them. One is a little more related to our topic today. One's more dinner party friendly. So here they go. First one, prime rib roast and wine. Smoky, meaty, the dog barks. Cribbage, cards, and dice. Doesn't that say dinner party? All right, I'm going to do one more. Red wine, body smooth. Gin sharp, pungent. Peel lemon, beer in a bottle. Now the third.
So you're boozing.
Apparently. It was Valentine's Day. And then finally, trouty noses appear, midge, a merger, a spinner. With luck, I'll know soon. Oh. There they go.
Yeah, very lovely.
Yes, thank you. And with that, on to the normal morning show protocols. And we usually start with a weather report, so I'll do that. It's looking good, everyone. If you're into sunny spring weather, that's what we're going to be having. So today, sunny and a high of 36. Tonight, chilly, a low of 16. The week is sort of going that way up until the weekend. So highs in the middle and upper 30s, up to 40, with sunny and partly sunny days. Yay.
Yeah, it sounds like it's sliding ever closer to March.
That's so true. And then the weekend looks like chances of snow and some fog. That's a little rougher for the skiers, but it's not quite sunny days in Idaho yet.
Well, amongst the things March brings is a whole new season of Master Naturalist classes.
So true.
And people getting ready for their gardens. And we're going to cover both of those topics today. The first half, we have two folks from the Idaho Master Naturalist, the Pend Oreille chapter, the local chapter of a fairly frequent contributor to the morning show, Clem Yonkers. Welcome back.
Thanks, Phil. You guys are probably tired of hearing my voice out there.
Not at all.
Currently treasurer and past president.
Yes, I am. Yes.
And joining us today with you, Clem, we have Patrick Myers, who's the education director for the chapter, I understand.
That's right.
Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
So we always like to hear a little bit about our guests before we launch into what they're talking about. So why don't you each tell us just a bit about yourselves and how you became interested in the Master Naturalist program. Clem.
Okay. Thanks, Julie. And good morning to you both, Phil and Julie. Yes, my wife and I got involved with the Master Naturalist back in 2011 when it started overall because we had just moved up to the area, and we were interested in trying to determine and find out more about not only the local history, but just the local vegetation and animals around that we were seeing. And the Master Naturalist was a group that doesn't address the history aspect, but does address everything else that we were interested in and trying to the wildlife and the fauna in the area. And so we got involved with them, and the Master Naturalists are essentially a group of like-minded people that come together and actively work towards the stewardship of Idaho's natural environment and resources. And we do that through taking classes, which Patrick will talk to us about today. And we also do that through volunteering. We ask for 40 hours of volunteering effort each year, and 40 hours of classes for our new people coming in. And we can do that the volunteer effort in many different ways. We volunteer, we're affiliated with Fish and Game, but we have our volunteers interacting with a lot of the nonprofit organizations here in town, like the Pend Oreille Bay Trail, Friends of Scotchman Peak. I don't know if we do anything with the gardeners, but a lot of our members are also members of the Bonner County Gardeners Association.
Yes, they're a science-based group, too, so I think you fit well together.
Yes, I would agree with that. So I don't know what else I could say, so I'll let Patrick introduce himself and tell why he was interested.
Thank you, Clem. Yeah, I joined the Master Naturalist just 2 years ago as a new member. I retired just prior to that in, at the end of 2016. And but I grew up in the area and spent most of my career working long distance from here in Texas. My wife and I had bought property about 25 years ago with the purpose of retiring here, coming back. And once I got here, I wanted to try to find something that I could do to help with the community. And I ended up going to one of the Kokanee spawning events that the Master Naturalist had in the fall of that year, and it got me hooked, and I decided to join him in the following year. So first year I was a student, last year I was in charge of education, and this year I'm also in charge of education, arranging the classes for new members and existing members as well.
Mm-hmm. And you both have science backgrounds, but that's not necessarily the case for everyone.
No, right. I mean, we do have science backgrounds, but we welcome a wide range of interests. Mainly, like I said, it's mainly people that are friendly, want to get together with a like-minded group of people, and are interested in volunteering and learning about the natural environment.
So you've mentioned how you both became engaged in your interest. How did the local chapter start?
Well, I guess I'm the corporate knowledge on that, Phil. So I pulled together with a group of people and Fish and Game talking about probably in 2010. They formed an ad hoc committee for formation of a group up here. Fish and Game told them they were looking for a cadre of volunteers, people that were interested in helping. We meet out at the Waterlife Discovery Center, and Fish and Game was interested in trying to get the Waterlife Discovery Center going for the community as some viable type entities that the community could use as a positive functionality. And right now, I would, if you haven't been out to the Waterlife Discovery Center, certainly, we're open in June, July, and August. We have a docent on duty. We're called NODS, or Naturalist on Duty. We have our people volunteering out there to answer questions. We have a lot of exhibits inside the building that you can go through. It's particularly oriented towards young children, probably like second grade to sixth or seventh grade. And also the grounds are open for hiking and walking around.
And I think it would be important to talk about Idaho Fish and Game's involvement in the Master Naturalist program. They're pretty involved.
Yeah, they're our sponsoring organization. But as I said, we have a lot of what we call memorandums of understanding with other groups. So that allows us to volunteer with other organizations and put that down as volunteer time for the that Fish and Game can use towards their contributions, so, ultimately.
So draw us a big picture. To become a Master Naturalist, one must take 40 hours of classes.
Yes.
Over what kind of time frame?
We'll start, and that's a good question. So I'm looking at my notes here. We'll start March 20th with a potluck and opening classes in terms of telling people that are interested in coming how it's going to be organized. And Pat will give us a better idea, but we run throughout the year, but we start really heavy in April and May, but then we still have courses and lectures from different organizations throughout the year that people can attend.
So it's essentially an annual class of people going
through. Yeah, we used to try to stuff everything in the first 6 or 8 weeks, but we decided that wasn't most effective for our membership.
It can be hard for folks to manage that.
Oh, yeah, it was. You really had to be fairly dedicated, though, 2 4-hour classes a week.
And then there's a volunteer component to actually become a Master Naturalist.
Yes, and then we asked for at least 40 hours after the classwork for the new people and also for continuing members. But that can be in education, outreach to the public, or it can be in citizen science projects, as we've been involved with plant monitoring, and I've been involved with kokanee egg stripping over at Sullivan Creek area, etc. So there's lots of projects.
Going on for about 10 years now.
It's getting close, yeah.
How many Master Naturalists are there?
We have currently, we just started our dues process. We have 24, but they'll still dribble in. We'll probably get around 30. Mm-hmm. And the new class, we don't know yet because we're out there talking to the public and trying to garner that interest. So we don't know how many mm-hmm. would come. It'd be great if we had 20, but who knows what it might be.
So, the ones who have gone through in the last 10 years, though, are more than 30. They just haven't stayed active?
Yeah, some people just don't stay as active as mm-hmm. others, and we don't see them as often.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. But whether they remain a master naturalist in good standing or not, they've really learned something.
We hope so.
Yeah.
We hope we pique their interest. And being that we're adults, you know, we just give them backgrounds in particular areas and then hope they delve farther themselves. Mm-hmm. If it's mushrooming or fish or plants, that they'll keep going and learn more and more. And then ultimately, maybe they can teach a course back to the master naturalist that'll help us.
So is there a core curriculum that's constant year to year, or do the classes vary?
Well, I'll let Patrick talk about that because he's our education director.
All right. Well, let's turn it over to Patrick for a little while.
All right. Well, thank you. this year we have about 29 new classes that we've arranged, and then we also have about, I think it's 17 on our list by other organizations for which they can also get credit for the training. As Clem mentioned, one of the, you know, as we get the classes for the new members, is 40 hours to be certified. We also have a need for, or a requirement for, 8 hours each successive year for existing members to remain certified.
Thanks for clarifying, because I wasn't mm-hmm. sure if folks needed to do another 40 hours each year. Not so.
Right. So one of the things I tried to do this year in arranging the classes was to try to find new things to do. So 15 of our 29 new classes are new classes that we have not done in recent years, and some of them maybe never done. So we have classes that are in mammals. We have three. We have three classes that are related to geology and the Ice Age floods, including an Ice Age floods field trip of the Hoodoo Channel. We have 8 classes on plants, including mushrooms, 3 on bats and birds. Excuse me. We also have 8 classes on watersheds and water systems. You know, it's somewhat important in our area with the lake and the rivers here. And taking it back to the Ice Age floods, where everything was created the way it is now, what we see. So it's really important to do that. So we've got 8 of those. We have 3 on fisheries, a couple of introductory and cultural type classes, and we have a class this year on entomology. So as Clem mentioned, we start our classes on March 20th, which is a Friday afternoon, and then we do Saturday morning the 21st. And after that, the classes are mostly going to be every other Thursday afternoon and Saturday morning. I think we have classes pretty much every other week into June pretty well. And we have classes, some in July. We've got the Kokanee spawning run that we do annually at the Trestle Creek site. And that's probably going to be in September. That seems the best time for run. And then we have a mushroom class that's going to be in October, because that's the best time for fall mushrooms. So we kind of spread it out over the year.
So do you have the full list of classes and their descriptions available somewhere?
Yes, we do. On our chapter website, the easiest way for people, if they want to look and see what's there now, if you go to the IDFG site, the Fish and Game site, and then on the right side of that, you can click the About button, and under Volunteer, you see Master Naturalists. So that's one way to do the path for that is to go to idfg.idaho.gov/master-naturalists. And that's the link to that, but you can get there just by going to the IDFG site and then finding
sure.
the trail down through the About button.
I bet you could just Google Idaho Master Naturalists and it would become
hopefully.
Top on your list.
Hopefully top on the list.
Yeah, but we also have an email address, too, that your listeners could contact us at. And that's imn.sandpoint@gmail.com. And so we're always watching that. So if people have a question, they could send their question to that email address. And as Patrick, I wanted to point out that Patrick's done a great job on all these courses. We don't ask you to take all, were there 57 of these classes?
Say 45-ish.
You can pick and choose to get your 40 hours of educational time. There's core classes that need to be taken, but a lot of this can, you don't have to take all of them. So I hope your listeners aren't intimidated by the number.
Yes, and I imagine more. They're not all one-hour classes, so I would think it wouldn't even be that many courses, and then you'd have many years of new courses you could follow up with.
So what are the what are some of the core courses that folks take? What's the common grounding?
We take a lot of classes on, in the beginning date, on the first one, we introduce what are naturalists, American naturalists, some journaling, that's another one. And those opening classes are done by our Master Naturalist members. Our instructors, by the way, are we have a lot from Fish and Game. We have quite a few who are Master Naturalist members who are going to be doing classes for us this year as well. But plants, water, fisheries, those are all part of the core things, just and the mammals type classes, the animals. Geology is a core chapter there. We try to do something with that. So this year we have in addition to the Ice Age floods field trip that I mentioned, we have a geology field trip to the big, large outcrops along the Highway 200, around Laclede, on either side of Laclede. We're going to do some stops there. That's a class by Andy Buddington, who's a geology professor at Spokane Community College, and he's done some guided tours of geology in that area, so he's going to be a good instructor for us.
A chance to find some fossils?
Possibly.
Maybe.
I have looked there myself and gotten some cool-looking rocks there. So.
Neat.
But that's those nice. Rocks, there are 1.6 billion years old. And the people who, if you ever stop there, it's about a mile-long rock outcrop on the east side of Laclede with a concrete barricade. And the rocks have so many different colors and swirls that they metamorphose to what we see there today about 40 million years ago. But the rocks, you know, the base core of that rock was much older.
That sounds very interesting. What I'm hearing from you, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that a person takes some core classes, but it's really up to the individual to find their area of interest and pursue it.
That's right. We have some of the members, most of the members who join us are retirees, and many of them are going to be in each new year, new class. They're going to be somebody who's looking for something to do in the community. If they're not retirees, they might be working. They can't go to the Thursday classes. So we've got a lot of Saturday classes and the classes by other organizations where they can still get their 40 hours credit. We had one of our new members last year. We had 12 new members join us last year, and one of those worked at a bank in town, and she couldn't make the Thursday classes typically, so she would come to the Saturday classes, and she was able to get a lot of her education needs done that way.
And I also want to say, I mean, these are also open up to the current Master Naturalists, because I even go and attend some of these classes that because they weren't offered when I went through the whole course effort.
So and that's a great segue into the next question. The courses are available only to those who are signed up for the entire series? Or
some of them are open to the public, Phil, we might be able to take a quick couple 30 seconds or so and tell you which ones, but we're going to post those too, like on Sandpoint Online, and get the information out to the public.
Good. Yes, let's do that.
Yeah, I'll run through those now. We actually have 8 classes that are going to be open to the public. Those are on 6 different days. In 2 of those days, we have 2 classes back to back. We have the Mammals and Elk Survival Monitoring Program on April 16th. There'll be classes by 2 Fish and Game personnel, Laura Wolf and Barb Moore. We have a local plants identification class. That's a class and then a field trip. The field trip portion of that will be open to the public at Round Lake. That's May 28th. The edible mushrooms class, it's in October. We don't have a date set specifically yet, is going to be open to the public. That'll be at our Waterlife Discovery Center. We have a bird watching by ear and the conventional method, and the walkabout, the Waterlife Discovery Center grounds will be open to the public, and that's on June 13th. We'll have a class called North Idaho After the Glaciers. on May 14th at the Wildlife Discovery Center. And along with that is a Kootenai River Fish Restoration Project on the same day. And that'll be open to the public for both of those classes. And then the Kokanee Spawning Run that we typically do at the end of each year in probably mid-September will be open to the public, a date to be determined later.
Well, it sounds like an awful lot of great information and a fun time. I would enjoy those. So yeah. I look forward to going on the website and finding out more about the publicly available classes. And you're going to get a bump from the morning show. You're going to watch the student enrollment rise this week, I think.
So true.
I hope so.
Well, as we run short of time, we're going to ask for any last comments, and then we'll go to a song break.
I've got one I'd like to say. We're recruiting at three locations. This weekend on Saturday from 10 to 12 in Priest River at the Ace Hardware, I'll be there with Laura Forsberg doing recruiting just to pass out information and answer questions if people are interested. Next weekend on February 29th at the Bonners Ferry Library, two of our members, Holly Pennington and her daughter, India Kuchri, will be doing the same recruiting event. And then at the co-op on March 14th at their annual meeting day, there's a vendor event there, and we're going to be recruiting at that time on March 14th in the morning of the co-op.
That's not the day you sell birdhouses, is it?
No, that's another... coming up in March. I'd have to look at my electronic calendar, but it's on a Saturday. I think that March 21st is when we're doing that, we're going to try to get more information out to public. Maybe I can come back on the show and talk about bluebird boxes.
Of course you can. We can
always look forward to that.
And I have to say that I think this is the first time that someone's talked more than I have. Laura usually says I talk too much. But thanks, Patrick. Yeah. You did a good job.
You are quite welcome.
And I just want to say, if they want to contact us, your listening public, imn.sandpoint@gmail.com.
All right. Well, thank you, Idaho Master Naturalist Clem Yonkers and Pat Myers. We appreciate the info, and I hope you'll find a new class for 2020 that's interested and large.
Thanks for joining
us. Thank you very much. Yes. Appreciate it.
On to a short music break, and then back with our next. Well, and that was The Kinks, Tired of Waiting for You, and that was a number one hit in either 1964 or 65, Phil.
It's not a commentary, then.
No,
we're not
tired. I was
running a little behind today. Sorry, Julie. But,
I was tired of waiting you for a short time.
Well, if you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY-FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho, and we've got a packed show today. We were talking with the Master Naturalists in the first half, and now we're going to turn to the local... Bonner County Gardeners.
Yes, the Bonner County Gardeners Association, and we're being joined this morning by Gail Swan. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning.
And Janae Dale. Hi,
good
Janae.
Good morning.
It's good to have you both here. And a big bird, Clem, told us that you might both have been master naturalists at one time.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a...
And I still am.
You still are. So yeah. Three of our four
guests. It's
a great
organization.
Yeah. Sure is. And in some ways similar to the Bonner County Gardeners, because you're a science-based group that really wants to learn about all things garden. Well, we normally start by asking our guests how they came to be involved with their organization. So let's start with you, Gail. How did you come to be with the Gardeners?
Well, when I moved here from Western Washington, I tried to garden and had a real big problem with trying to grow anything. Wasn't really too comfortable with the environment here. So I saw an ad in the Bee about the Master Gardener program at the Extension Office, University of Idaho. And that was in 2004. So I signed up and took the class then. And that's when I met Janae and a whole bunch of other happy gardeners. So I've been with the association ever since. And my gardening has improved.
Oh, yes, it has.
I'm still on a learning curve, but it's much better.
Yes, with gardening, that's always the case. And Janae, you're a longtime member. How did you come to be with the Bonner County Gardeners?
Well, my story is just almost identical to Gail's. In fact, we lived very close to each other. We didn't realize it, but we lived quite close to each other on the other side of the Cascade Mountains before we moved over here. And I, too, had the very same experience where I struggled with my gardening. So signing up for the classes was the reason that I did it was to learn more about how to garden here. but I enjoyed all the people so much that I stayed for the rest of the time. So I've been a member since 2003.
Mm-hmm. And so you've mentioned, you've both mentioned the Master Gardener classes. Is this the Bonner County Gardeners Association, what others might call the Master Gardeners?
Well, at one time, we were part of the Master Gardeners program, mm-hmm. but the University of Idaho no longer wanted to have that kind of a social group, an organized group, and so we decided to have it on our own. So okay. we have our own now, Bonner County Gardeners Association, and in order to be a member, one must complete the Master Gardener, the University of Idaho Master Gardener program, or from some other state, or to have a background of some sort, the strong background in gardening.
Yes, so I mentioned
Julie does.
Well, I do. However, I had so much to learn moving here as well. But it is a combination of a social group, a science-based gardening group, and just a group of anecdotal gardeners sharing their experiences. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the mission of the association?
The mission?
Or the objectives.
Well, we do have a written mission. I'm afraid I didn't bring them with me. But
Well, our tagline is education, community service, and camaraderie. And so we do maintain education because we put on a science-based education program, membership program for new members based on the Idaho handbook. From the University of Idaho. And then we also do community service, and our camaraderie is probably one of the best parts of the whole organization.
I think so.
You get a group of gardeners together and they start talking and that doesn't stop. It goes on and on. We're all pretty close and got to be good friends.
The focus for the morning is to talk about your courses that are coming up while it's still chilly and we want to be learning. However, it is a broad, it's an organization that has a broad overview and does a lot of things. Before we get into the courses, why don't you tell us about some of the events, activities that happen that are not coursework?
Well, one of the main ones that most of the people in the community will recognize is the garden tour that we usually have in July, and most people are familiar with that. That's something that our organization puts on. We also help out with the school gardens. We have people, including Julie, helping out at the different school gardens and helping the teachers run a program so that the students learn more about gardening.
It's ongoing throughout the year. Sounds like you have social events as well.
Oh, yes. You want to do
We do. We just had a potluck at one of our members' houses on Saturday. And we do potlucks whenever anyone feels like having something. Summer, winter, fall, spring, it doesn't matter. And just being able to see other people's gardens and how they use innovations in everything surrounding their garden it's always a fun opportunity to see that.
And I think I'm remembering it correctly, but you have an occasional field trip too, don't you?
Oh, yes.
We do.
Yes, we try and visit some of the more unusual gardens, exceptional gardens, or nurseries in the area. And we'll just set it up, and then any of the members that want to come will come along and enjoy seeing some new gardening techniques. That's probably what we're the most interested in with our organizations, is the new and different gardening techniques that might be in the area.
So how large is the organization?
Right now we have about 100 members, which is pretty close to last year. I think we had 108, so we're right in there. And then we have 15 new students that are taking the membership class right now. So hopefully some of them will remain in our membership.
Yes, well, that's a good way for us to transition from events into coursework, because there really are two categories of coursework that you offer. Let's talk about them.
Well, as has been mentioned, the first one is the membership class that we're having now, and that that goes on. It's twice a week, and it goes on for a couple of months to cover all the material that's in the Master Gardener University of Idaho handbook. And people sign up for that and are expected to attend all the classes. But we also try to offer classes for members of the community. And so in the spring and in the fall, we have what we call the Home Horticulture Series. And we have anywhere from 5 to 8 classes in the spring and then again in the fall. And we've just set up our classes for this coming spring. We have a list of classes ready to go. We have 8 this time, so it's a full load of classes for people.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about a few of them.
Or all of them. I'd like to hear what they're going to be.
Well, our first class is going to be the 18th of March, and it's on pruning shrubs, trees, whatever that needs to be pruned by one of our members who has done many pruning classes before. She's an outstanding member. So that is not going to be a field trip. It will be in the office. And all of these classes, except for one on composting, will be in our office above the Pondere Event Center. So then...
Oh, you want me to do the
sure.
next one? The next one is raised beds, because many people are interested in doing gardening and perhaps don't have a good space for it or good soil for it, so you can put in a raised bed and fill that with good soil and then have your gardening. Another one of our members who has taught this class before and does an excellent job in teaching a wide range of different kinds of raised beds, and that will be March 25th. Our classes, except for the compost class, our classes are all on Wednesday evening from 6 until 8.
Janae, you left out something important about raised bed gardening, and I think the easiest way to describe it is gophers.
Yes, if you do raised beds, when you very first put in your bed, and Becky will be talking about this, you can put in screening that will keep out the gophers. Mm. You can put screening in the bottom of your bed, then fill it with and curl that up the sides as well, and then fill it with soil and prevent the garden, the mm-hmm. gophers from getting in.
There are quite the little devils.
Oh, yes. But she'll be teaching lots of tricks with the raised beds.
Then April 1st is a class by a mushroom aficionado, Art Church, who used to live up in Bonner's Ferry and is now living down in southern Idaho, is coming up to do a class for us before he goes up to Bonner's Ferry to do a class for the extension office up there. So he's going to stop by in the evening and do a spring mushroom class for us and describe and show mushrooms that are edible, mushrooms to stay away from, and maybe how to do some growing on your own of
yes.
certain kinds of mushrooms.
Well, he's a renowned mushroom expert from this area. So
yes, he is.
I would say you're lucky to get him.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Very much. So we were really thrilled when we found out he was going to be here.
It was just serendipitous that he was going up to Bonner's to give a class during the day on the 2nd. So we...
Timing. It's just wonderful timing.
Yes, it is. We were very fortunate. The next class is on home orchards, and it's a general orchards class for all the general care for anyone who's interested in even one fruit tree, having a small home orchard. Carl Nagy, who is the expert out at the orchards place, I'm
the
not
organic
sure what it's
orchard.
Called, the organic orchard that it used to be... Coldwater Creek. It was their resort and now are their retreat center, and now the University of Idaho has taken it over and is using it for organic gardening, and Carl Nagy is the organic orchard specialist, so he'll be teaching a class, lots of knowledge there. He'll be teaching a class on April 8th.
I have to say, you've lucked out again, because maybe, Phil, I don't know, were you at the apple tasting this fall when he was organizing
yes.
that?
He was great.
He's a wonderful resource.
He is, and he's an excellent speaker.
And we've had him on
very
the show.
Knowledgeable.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. Then we have a class being presented by one of our another member on rural residential preparedness for fire safety, storm safety. Tim and his wife moved here a few years ago from Arizona, and they live way up high where there's lots of snow, and they have a pretty big forest.
And listeners can't see this, but Gail is circling up and up and up, so he must be way up.
Pretty high. Yeah. Yes.
And so they'll be looking at landscaping to prevent or help slow down.
Yes. And he is, he's done a lot of work on his own property to make it safer and less fire hazard, storm hazard. So he'll be presenting a class on that for us.
A topic we don't necessarily think about when we're thinking of home gardening, but so important.
Oh, very much so. If anyone lives in or near a wooded area, this is really a class that you need to take to learn what it is you need to do.
Yeah.
Then the 22nd, which is a Wednesday, we don't have a class because we have a special class on the April 25th. And that's a Saturday. We're having it on Saturday because it's in the afternoon and it's outdoors, and we want people to be able to come to it that may work during the day. This is on compost and making your own compost, which is the magic ingredient for good gardening. This is what makes your garden grow, is beyond any of the fertilizers or anything else that you can add. If you have good compost, homemade compost, you'll have a successful garden.
It's more complex, too, than a lot of people think.
Yes.
It is.
And Anne's been doing this for a long time. We call her the queen of compost because she really, really knows all about making this. And she will demonstrate it at her place with her own compost pile and her own garden. So you'll really learn how to use compost, how to create it and use it.
Well, and Janae is going to have her red wigglers there. So, you know, lots of people like to see that and understand how to use them and how to get compost tea. Janae's just not she's bashful about saying anything about her worms, and but she will be there.
I was about to say, for those who don't know what a red wiggler might be, Gail's just told us it's worm garden, worm compost.
This is vermiculture.
Yes.
If you want to sound classy.
And you've been doing this for a long time, Janae.
Yes, I have. I've had my worm bin for quite some time. Yeah.
So our final class is Cooking with Spring Greens with Alex Jacobson, who is the owner and chef of the Pack River Store. He did a class for us a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I think so.
And got rave reviews. So he's back by popular demand to do another spring cooking class for us. So
these are the classes open to the public. How does one go about signing up?
We have flyers all over town that we put out. We also have it posted on Facebook and our Bonner County Gardeners website. And there's a PayPal link to both of those that you can just go to the PayPal link and sign up for the class. Or if you hear the, there will be an article in the co-op coming up very shortly. And also, Valley Novak will write an article in the Bee for us. So
good. And nice. You mentioned PayPal, and obviously the Bonner County Gardeners are a nonprofit, but classes cost a little money. Why don't you tell us about how folks would pay and what the prices would be?
Okay.
Roughly.
The classes are $10 a piece, and since we have an office, we do have to pay rent, and we have expenses, so we charge as minimum as we can just to try and pay for our expenses and our printing of the flyers, any of the material. We do print handouts for any instructors who give classes.
And we serve treats. We have treats at our classes as well.
We do serve. Since it's at dinner time, we do provide a little bit of food sustenance for people that come to the classes.
Bargain for all the information that you're receiving.
Really, it is.
A nice social event, too. You both have mentioned moving here. I'm going to use the words overwhelmed, or at least the sense of newness and difference created this need for more knowledge. One or two tips for someone who's just moved to the area and feels overwhelmed themselves. What should they do, aside from signing up for the class, of course?
I think that one of the first things to do is to consider opening your expectations so that you aren't just expecting everything to be just like it was when you grew things someplace else, because the gardening will be different here. But not to give up on it, to look on it as an adventure and a learning process. I think probably the main thing is to be aware of when it freezes, how late it freezes. And although climate change is moving the dates, we still consider things waiting until, it's not a bad idea to wait until the end of May to plant things that might freeze, or to have some kind of cover to put over them. The soil is different. That's one of the reasons why we really promote the compost. One of the things that's really unique about this area is there are so many different climate zones and so many different soil zones. It isn't all the same. It's very different. Even just a few miles away can be a huge difference in the climate and or the soil of an area. So that's why you really have to be open and receptive to whatever might happen. I think it's, isn't it Diane Greer? Oh, no, maybe it was Lois Wythe. I don't remember. One of them made the comment, if you're going to garden in Idaho, you must remember that it's the hottest, coldest, wettest, driest place that you will garden. And you will have any of those at any time. So,
yeah, good words of wisdom.
It's a great comment.
Gail, anything to add, Gail?
Well, and there's a lot of discussion about what zone we are, but there's a huge variety of zones. Like Janae said, it depends on where you live. Some microclimates could be a zone 6. I garden for a zone 4. Because I don't want to spend money on plants and have them get hit by a late freeze in the spring and lose plants that I've spent money and hard work, time and energy trying to plant and nurture. So I want to plant for the lowest zone I can and make sure that things don't get stuck in a freeze late in the spring.
Sounds like a recipe for greater success than the other way around.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Well, I would like to thank Gail Swan and Janae Dale for joining us from the Bonner County Garden Association, Gardeners Association. And we're going to go to song break, but could we have your contact information one more time and any last comment?
Contact information? I think a good place to start is with Facebook, with Bonner County Gardeners Association, or our own website, Bonner County Gardeners Association. Our office, our classes are located in the Ponderay Event Center upstairs above the glass and cabinet shop. We're upstairs at the end of the hall, and that's where we have our classes. So,
very good.
Mm-hmm. What else? Can you think of another contact? Mm-mm. That's pretty much it, I think.
All right. What do you have working right now? What are you getting ready to plant?
Oh, getting ready to plant? Well, yeah. I already have planted indoors my onions, leeks, and artichokes.
That's a nice spring thought, Gail.
Artichokes. She's hopeful.
What do you have? What are you working on?
I have a brand new house, so I don't have a garden that's ready to be planted in yet. So as soon as the snow goes away, we'll start working on the outside.
Okay.
So
a new adventure.
Can't help you right now.
Very good.
Yeah.
An adventure, a forthcoming adventure. Well, yeah. We're going to go to a song break, and I think it's appropriate, Phil, because we've talked of the wild world of the master naturalists, and it really sounds like gardening is a wild world here in Idaho.
Oh, baby.
With that, some Cat Stevens.